morning, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCAR server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session is actually Gary, KC2RMO. His location is Syracuse, New York. And I believe he said it's about 54 degrees and very, very windy because he's strapped himself to his chair. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 at Sierra United November. And I live in beautiful Vero Beach, Florida, where it's currently a temperature of 76 degrees, high today of about 84. About 79% humidity, but it's a very sunny start to the day. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, come aboard. Hearing no emergency traffic, and that's always a great thing. So I'm going to ask for those birthday stations out there. And like I said last night, I know there's one of them out there. He's just recently had a birthday, so maybe he'd like to come aboard and say hi to us this morning. Is there any birthday stations out there? If so, come aboard.
Well, that would be me, RMO.
I knew that would be you, Mr. Gary. And we talked a little bit last night about your birthday and your gifts, and maybe you'd like to share that with everyone that's connected, because we may have some new ones connected. And happy birthday once again. So, Gary, come aboard and share about your birthday with us.
Well, thank you, Kathy. And it was a good birthday. I had my fill of Chinese food, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Got a harmonica holder and a harmonica, which is coming, and it'll be a musical little interlude around here. Those things are great because I can play a guitar and play the harmonica at the same time. So I'll be doing my little Bob Dylan thing. It'll be kind of cool. So that was going on. I got a gift card from my daughter and her family, and I've got something coming in the mail, too, from my son, so the hits just keep on coming, as they say, so we'll see how it all goes, but it's been a great birthday so far. I've enjoyed every bit of it, and my tip of the Tasia Ave hat to my lovely wife, who made it a lovely birthday, so I'll give her a salute right here. So that's what we got right now. Give it back to you, Kath. This is KC2RMO going back to the net.
Well, I was wondering about you, Gary. You were still keyed up and sure didn't want to mute our net control for this morning. So I'm glad that you're having a good birthday. It would have been a nice picture to see that salute to your lovely wife. Well, everyone, this is the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. The purpose of this net is to bring our members and non-members together in a relaxed and informal atmosphere to enjoy a moderated rag chew. Our topic this morning to start things off is something we have once a month, and that's Ask an Elmer. And Gary always runs these sessions, and he always does a fantastic job. And I always record these sessions of mine in case we put them on the podcast. So if you've been part of this session this morning, you most definitely will be part of the recording. Gary, I want to just make one announcement, and then I'm going to turn it over to you to begin this morning. But a while back, several weeks, I did a session, or I think Gary did, on recipes and food in restaurants, and we decided it was so much fun hearing about all the recipes. We'd like to do a net on that in the future. So I asked that you send myself or a South Car is your favorite recipe so that we can put that in part of the session. My email is my call sign, K6SUN, at voipnet.southcars.com, or the general email is voip at voipnet.southcars.com. So let me drop it here for just one moment. And if you haven't checked out our website lately, please check out it, because new things are being added all the time. We just added a session on the left, upper left. It's called SCARS Staff Biographies. That way you know a little bit about those in the background, about the history and how they became radio operators and on it goes. But check it out. It's very interesting information. So with that, Mr. Gary, I'll be in the background, but I probably have no question to offer you. I told you what I offered to do, and I have a lot of work ahead of me, so I'll be there in the background. But my suggestion to you with those final five classes is you should have taken some of the hard ones with the easy ones and not all at the end. Over to you, Gary, and have a wonderful session. KC2RMO from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Well, that's all they were offering. I think I had like two easy classes, and then the rest were all like lousy. And they're all 8 weeks, too, so I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'll have to muddle through this, but we'll see. However, just on a totally different subject, it's also possible I may transfer off and finish up at USC, so we'll see. We'll just see how that all goes. Well, good morning, everybody. 53 degrees, cloudy, and boy, is it getting windy out there. Right now it's in bursts, but later on they're talking about a much steadier and higher velocity situation. We're looking for winds right up to 50 miles an hour plus today, and a whole bunch of rain to go along with it. So I think they've got some, there may be a flood watch out as well. We have a high wind watch right now. We have would be expecting a flood watch too here in Syracuse. It's going to be an interesting day weather-wise. If I see a witch on a bicycle with a little dog in a picnic basket, we're in trouble. Let's put it that way. What we're doing this morning is simple. It's Ask an Elmer. We do this just about once a month, and what that is we take your questions or comments about ham radio, really any topic about the technical aspect of the hobby or operating procedures. We'll take your question, and we'll field it to everybody listening. And we've got some great resources here, including my backup, Jim, KV4QY, who could Elmer any Elmer out there. The guy knows his stuff. Plus, we've got some interesting tidbits to offer a little bit later on than that. We'll be talking about ham radio on the cheap. Let me just buy a nickel. So, it's time to ask an Elmer here on South Cars. Now, whether you're a new ham, and we love to hear from new hams, particularly, or if you've been around the block a few times, we'd love to hear from you, too. We'll start it out by taking check-ins right now. I'm KC2RMO. And this is South Cars on the Sunday Morning Rag 2.
Juliet Alpha Kilo.
There's Jack to get things going. Good morning to you, sir. Anybody else for the first round?
Six Victor. Good morning, sir.
Oscar Victor India in person.
Meg Yankee.
Hey, what a great way to get things going. This is a good start. J.A.K., hello there to you, sir. And come on aboard the Sunday Morning Rag Chew.
All right. Well, thank you, Gary, and good morning to you and the wife. I hope you all are doing great, and we can't forget the kitties. Ours are running around here like nuts today, so I hope yours are too. good to get in here. Hadn't been in here for a while, but still we figured we'd turn it on today. Been doing, you know, been working a lot. What can I say? Saturday's been pretty busy, so we haven't had a chance to get in, but had a chance today, and I figured I'll sit down here and jump in here and aggravate, communicate a little bit, just to see what's going on and kind of keep up with everything. I like the idea of the recipes. I already sent Kathy one, and I'll see if I can't dig up a couple more to send, and we'll get us a South Cars cookbook going or something like that. That'd be nice. That'd be nice. That'd be something nice, and you can reference it online, whatever, and all your all your favorite people you communicate with, you can check out and enjoy their favorite food, man. Now, you can't beat that with a stick. That's all I got to say there. And hey, good luck on your last, I think you said five classes there. I don't have a problem. I know you're going to do good with them there. Let me let this drop a second. And you know, I completed all my schooling, got all my stuff, but there's nothing going on there. So I have gone back doing electrical work. So I think about it here before the day's out or tomorrow, I'll send you some pictures of what I really do enjoy doing. I like running my pipe and my wire, and I got a couple pictures here of the job I'm currently on. And the pipe work, I'll send you the pictures of it. I'll send it to you and Six Victor. Show what I've been doing. I've done all this pipe work, so you guys will like at it. I'm an artist, buddy. I'm an artist. This is what I actually love to do. Anything else is secondary. But, hey, I love the overtime, and I'm enjoying it. Sorry I'm missing scars so much, but got to have that money. You know, got to have ham radio equipment and ammunition. Boy, that's a great combination. K4JAK, back to net control.
They're like ham and eggs, I guess. Jack, you're the Picasso of piping. Yeah, definitely send those pictures. We want to see them. That's for sure. It is great to hear from you. And you know, about the kitty cats, they right now, our guys are sleeping. Our guys, this is kind of like their bedtime right now. They of course about 18 hours a day is their bedtime, but this is their primary bedtime. And yeah, we've got one playing dead right now in his little box over there. They have been picking up as far as energy goes. What we've been doing of late is we've been cooking up chicken for them and grinding it up with some scrambled eggs and some broccoli, and they're getting that once a day. And they have some dry food to go along with it. But this stuff is agreeing with them a lot. So we've got a lot more energy out of these felines, and they are you know, these guys aren't that old, but they're not that young either, and they're zooming all over the house. So it's obviously got some merit to it. And that gave me a thought too about something. Let me just buy a nickel. And for our recipes, maybe I'm going to throw out a little suggestion here. How about some pet recipes? Hmm. All right. Pets got to eat too. So that might be a kind of an interesting thing to throw in there. But thank you, Jack. It is great to hear from you. And I know you're busy, but you know, anytime you can check in or just be around is great. We appreciate it. So thanks again for being there, and we'll move it along. And as I fold my hands and bow towards the microphone, good morning, Six Victor. How are you?
Well, I think okay. Good morning, Gary, and hi, Jack. Looking forward to seeing those pipe pictures. And looks like we've got the makings of a nice day down here. This is Gordon, KY6V. We're currently at 75. We're supposed to head up to about 83 today, and then back down to about 66 tonight. Humidity is about 83%, and the winds are about 6 miles an hour at the moment coming in from the east. But lots of sun, lots of blue sky, so I think it's going to be a dandy. I had a little problem. I'm not totally awake yet, although I've been up for an hour. I did sleep in. The moral of my story this morning is don't turn on your computer when you're still asleep or half asleep. And I turned mine on, and the first thing I found is I didn't have any audio on Echolink, Gary. And you are to blame, incidentally. So I closed out the Echolink program and brought it back up, and I still didn't have any audio. Well, the bottom line here, when I finally figured it out, is I had muted Echolink in the mixer last night because I was editing your program that you ran last night on the Global Hour. And went to bed and had not even thought about unmuting the thing, got up this morning and nothing worked. So we're in the background, Tiger. Shame on you. KY6V back to net.
I take full and complete responsibility. The story of my life. Wow, we are getting into a storm situation up here, Gordon, and it's interesting. I've just been watching this thing. I've got this killer school weekend going on, and it's like the endless school weekend. And I was up till about 1:30 last night, 1:30, working on this stuff. And I got to the point where I said, well, okay, great. You know, I can get through the day tomorrow nicely, or at least reasonably with what I've got left. So I got up, I woke up about 7 o'clock this morning. And it was one of those things, do you want to get out of bed or don't you want to get out of bed? And I opted for in bed, but you could hear the wind through the trees already at that point. And this thing isn't even supposed to start until later this afternoon, but it's building right now. So they're talking 50 mile an hour winds, gusts up to 65, and it's prolonged. I think that's the thing that really impresses me. Let me just buy a nickel. It's a prolonged event where we'll be going from this afternoon right through tomorrow afternoon with this. And I'm expecting to see some interesting stuff, a lot of power lines and things like that. So we will see what we shall see. But great to have you there. Get yourself a nice cup of coffee, and hope we'll be hearing from you in another round. But we'll move it along to OVI. Pete, come on aboard.
Now, what questions can I ask of anyone here? That's my dilemma. What am I going to ask? I'm just going to ask for good weather. I know you all having some bad weather up there in the North Country. We're having two days. Maybe Gordon can testify to this, that we had 2 days of overcast. And that I can blame on the Gulf of Mexico. It's a supplier of infinite amount of moisture for 2 days. Finally, we broke out this morning. I look outside this morning. We got somewhat of a sunshine. But we still got plenty of clouds coming in from the west coast. I don't know what it is for the Gulf of Mexico. It's an instigator. I'll show it. So that's why I don't know what questions to ask. Ashinama, I mean, if you had a bona fide, meteorologist on the air here, I could ask some questions about this weather we're going through. Or even up north, I mean, gosh, there were reports in October of fairly severe snowstorms up there. And we're only in the fall time. I don't know what's going to happen in the winter time. Are we going to be in a deep freeze? That's my question to you, Gary. Are we going to get into the deep freeze? And I'll come back with some more comments. Katie Fouras, Quebec, India.
Good morning. King Able 3, Boston, Mary Sugar, Portable 3.
Okay, Pete, I'm going to get back to you in just a minute. We have sounds like a mobile station coming in there. Can you come back in again, station calling?
Sure. King Able 3. Boston Mary Sugar, KA3BMS, Portable 3, between Philadelphia and Westchester, Pennsylvania. Over.
Well, good morning, and welcome to the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. It's great to have you here. And we're doing a topic this morning of Ask an Elmer. We're just taking questions about anything that you may have related to ham radio or any comments that you might have. Might I ask, are you a South Cars member?
I don't know, and I'm not really bothered to pursue membership, to be square with you. Good morning, Mike and Joe and all from King Able 3, Boston, Mary Sugar. My name is Hank, Hotel Alpha November King. I normally would check into the East Cars, or East Cars on 7255, but my radio stopped on scan here for a while ago, and I just thought I would try
Well, thank you, Hank. It's great to have you aboard, and certainly as long as you're within range, definitely keep us on and join us again and again. Our thanks for being there. If you'd like to give us, if you'd like to join South Cars, if you're not sure, basically all we would need is a is an email address, and that's pretty much it. We've got the rest of the, we can get the rest of the info from QRZ, and it would be great to have you along. But don't do that right now. Obviously, you're in a mobile situation, so you know we'll just enjoy having you there. But thanks again for being there. Pete, I want to respond to your question. Hang on just a second here while I buy a nickel.
Excuse me, Mr. Control. May I please pose one question which occurred to me after my last over? KA3 BMS, please. Over.
And, you know, living in Syracuse, you develop a healthy respect for winter weather. That's for sure. And one of the great pastimes is figuring out, are we going to get killed this year? That really is. I've done a little research on it. The way it looks, or the preponderance of evidence, anyway, suggests that it's going to really kind of be on and off until we get somewhere towards the end of December. So we're going to have, you know, snowy spells and then warm-ups and what have you. Then it's going to settle down into a real winter. Late December is what they kind of suggest anyway, which is pretty typical, you know. And then we get killed, all right, from a city that gets an average of 120 inches of snow a year. We make up for lost time if the winter starts late, so we can definitely handle that. So that's the short answer to that one, Pete. So I don't think anything's coming real soon, but I think we're going to get some stormy stuff for sure. We will move this thing along, and we will go to 4QY. Jim, come on aboard there, sir, and great to have you as a backup.
Before I come along, though, just as you were commenting to Pete there, BMS has an additional question for you. You might pick him up, over.
All right, thank you, Jim. BMS, did you have?
Good morning. Thank you for acknowledging me again. My question is once regarding some of the larger trauma that I have. I think I know the answer roughly, but I don't remember exactly. So perhaps someone could be a little bit more exact. I was first licensed as a novice in 1978, September 15th, my call sign was issued. As I was studying for the license at a radio school or class that was held by a ham radio club down in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania, there was talk about some of the rules and regulations which had just changed earlier in 1978, or maybe it was 77. You know, this is in the spring of 78, I'm thinking, in particular. And there was talk about how the novice license went from 1 year to 2 years, and now it's 5 years. It was then eventually became 5 years and 10 years. What I don't remember is regarding novice privileges, when did the novice license have a more than 1 year expiration date? And secondarily, when were novices permitted to operate with a VFO? When were novices permitted to operate with a VFO? And with a maximum input power of, I believe it was 250 watts. So if someone could answer those three questions, when was the novice license
I had to be extended to beyond 1 year. One did novices were novices permitted to operate with the VFO as opposed to a crucial controlled oscillator. Number three, one where they also permitted to have the same power input, 250 watts input to the SPS. And that control from KA3BMS.
Well, thank you, Hank. I'm just searching my own personal knowledge base. I don't know the answer to that question, but what we'll do is we'll throw that out to the listenership here, see if maybe somebody may know the answer to that. You know, since there are no more novice licenses, it's kind of a moot point, but an interesting point. So let's see if anybody has the answer to that. If they don't, we'll move along, and what we'll do is if maybe pick it up later if somebody if that, you know, somebody has the answer for that. So if anybody can answer any one of those questions, we'll hear from you now. Okay, nothing heard at this point in time, but Hank, if we can come up with an answer for you, we will do that, and so hopefully you'll be within range for us. We'll go back to where we started this time around with 4QY. Jim, come on aboard.
KB4QY. Good morning. That's all on the net. It's Echo 1880, by the way. And, Lord mercy, I don't remember. I remember them doing all that. But the novice tickets have done away with that so long now that I just about forgot it ever existed. Although I sure had one. But of course, when I had it, they were 1 year non-renewable. So you had to, when you got a novice ticket, you had to get that general within a year. So I did, but I barely did. Oh boy. All right. Well, I don't have any great amount of questions. I have one comment, though. I went out yesterday, my wife went out, and bought us a new router. And I've been diddly dead burn checking out last night with Gordon, made sure it was all going just fine, and it is. It's still running right now. But by cracky, we found out that the Wi-Fi is not working at all. So we got to take the thing back. I think we just going to go ahead and get one little, go up one bottle. But this one, it sure worked out nice. I'll say that. It was easy to set up and get it going, but I do believe that I want that Wi-Fi to work. We got a couple of wireless, computer, got one computer, one's a Kindle. So we want them to work through that router, and that ain't gonna do. So it's back to the store again, getting up. I hope it sets up as easy as this one. Let me cycle here. There's one thing about this this router that I found out, though. It can't work. You know that. It can't work on Wi-Fi because it ain't got no air wires. It ain't got no air wires, and it ain't got no rubber ducks, and it ain't got no nothing. So, no wonder it don't work. Go ahead, Gary. KB4CY.
Hey, thank you, Jim. You know, I just recently, excuse me, I just recently got an ASUS router. I forget the model number of this thing, but it's supposed to be the world's fastest home router, you know. And it is pretty quick, I'll say that. But I'll tell you, the antenna in this thing is internal. There's, you know, I used to use a Linksys. I used to have a WRT54G, and it still works. It still works fine, as a matter of fact. But I just wanted to get an N router, so I have that. And I have the 54G as a backup, and I was kind of surprised at that too. That the antenna's all internal on that. But I was almost in a situation the other day of having to put that online, put my backup online. I don't know whether we had a power surge or whether we were hacked or something. But I had, I suspect it was a power surge. It just wreaked total havoc with my network. Nothing worked. I had to reset the router back to factory specs. I had to reload everything in the routing table. All my network devices were incapacitated. I had to go in and rebuild the whole thing. Just wild. It took me all day last Sunday, to repair the damage. So I'm not really sure what happened, but I was kind of in the same situation too. Where we were just like, when things go down around here, network wise, it's some serious business too, because of course we have the VoIP phone and everything too. But, good to hear from you. Great to have you as a backup. And, one of the things I was, mentioning earlier on in the net, was that, we were going to talk a little bit about, ham radio on the cheap. That's a good subject, at least for me anyway. We all love equipment. And if we didn't love equipment, we wouldn't be hams, let's face it. But that stuff gets expensive. Let me buy a nickel. So there's some cheap stuff out there of late. I think it was a couple weeks ago. I was talking about that little Baofeng handheld that I got, the $30 HT. And that this darn thing actually worked pretty well. I don't know, if 2 years down the line I'm going to mutate from using it, but I mean, other than that, it really works pretty well. The software on the thing, the programming software, is just awful. And even the good software is pretty bad, but for $30, who's complaining, So my question to you is, there are a number of these Chinese radios out there, and I'll be perfectly frank with you. I am a person whose job had been outsourced to China, and I really don't feel good about buying Chinese goods. But we really don't have a lot of alternatives in many cases. And for a $30 radio, who's going to say no to that, right? So I did. I got this thing. But there's the Wo-Shun. I believe that's how it's pronounced. There is a new 2-meter rig. I believe it's 2-meter. It may be 2 and 440. That's a mobile rig that's called Anytone. Crazy sounding name, but... these are selling for about, $100, $150 less than a comparable name brand unit, an Olenko or an ICOM or a Yaesu. They're obviously trying to make an impact into the market. And some of the stuff, it works pretty well. If it's all like that Baofeng, I mean, it's an alternative anyway. So what do you think? Do you have a Chinese radio? Would you consider buying one? I'm going to throw that out right now. We'll take another round of check-ins as we do Ask an Elmer here on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew on South Cars.
Julie at Alpha Kilo.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
Victor Hotel.
Okay, we had three there, but I think somebody was doubling with somebody. We'll try one more time around. Anybody else want to get in on this round?
Victor Hotel, if you didn't get it.
AK, come on aboard, Jack.
All right, thank you, Gary. Well, I don't have any Chinese radios. I do have a couple of Japanese radios. I have my Yaesu FT-60 and then my FT-1000D, which I got that at a good price. I did a little horse trading. The guy that had come across it had what is a 101 freak. He loves his FT-101s. So believe it or not, I traded him a very good, you know, nothing wrong with it, working Yaesu FT-101 and Yaesu FL-2100B, both in excellent condition, for this FT-1000D that I have here, the SP5 speaker with it, the MD-100 microphone that came with it, and a whole bunch of other little accessories. And needless to say, I grinned all the way back to the house, smiling from ear to ear. And I knew the radio. I knew another friend that had it. It was his radio. And he works on a lot of equipment around here, but it was his radio originally. So I knew the condition it was in, and I went ahead and picked it up. And, well, you know, you've seen it yourself. So what can I say? I've got about maybe $700 invested in it, and here about 3 months ago I turned down $2,500 cash for it. K4JAK, back to net.
Hey, thank you, Jack. I have seen that radio, and it is gorgeous. It is absolutely gorgeous. And, yeah, you made a killing on that, that's for sure. I don't have any Yaesu. I have a Yaesu Vertex DX150. That's my that was my 2-meter handheld, still is my primary 2-meter handheld until I got the Baofeng. And, you know, it's a great radio. Although I have had problems ever since going to Windows 7 with the programming software. I don't use the Yaesu program. I use a program called FTB1050, which is put out by an English ham, and that'll do a variety of Vertex radios. And all of a sudden on Windows 7, I'm getting very quirky responses on the radio side of things. For instance, it will not display the frequency. It'll only display the channel when you're in the channelized mode and stuff like that. It doesn't bother me too much. I'm not on 2 and 440 all that much, but it's just kind of weird to see that. But you have a phenomenal radio, and you've got a great station there. I wish everybody could see it, because it's a gorgeous radio, that's for sure. You did well, son. You did well. So thanks, Jack, once again. We'll move it along, going out to Ohio now. And Rick, VXP, come on aboard.
This is N1 VXP, Rick in Chillicothe, Ohio, Echo 2102. And just make a little comment about weather. We are under a wind advisory. Last night, before I went to bed, I happened to turn the weather channel on the internet, and it looked like we were going to be in for some pretty good storms overnight. So I shut everything down, disconnected, and everything else, and went to bed. Woke up this morning just to a good steady rain. Checked the radar, and sure enough, what had appeared to be last night is a pretty good line of thunderstorms didn't materialize. So just waiting around for the round two today. They're talking out in Indiana, they got it up to 90% chance of tornadoes, but they have us for a 30-40% chance, and it's going to be later on this afternoon and tonight. I'm just hoping it doesn't materialize, but kind of surprising you're getting the wind that we're supposed to be getting right now, but hasn't materialized. And they're talking us for 40 to 50 miles an hour. But like I say, I'm just sitting back and just waiting for that weather to come through. I also have a Belfang, and I started out with the Yaesu handheld, the 2 meter 440. Let me drop for a second. Yeah, I did start out with the Yaesu 2 meter 440 handheld. It was my favorite little radio to have. Still have it. I have to go through the trouble of replacing the battery. Charged it up the other day, and it just wouldn't charge, so I said, okay. That was one of the reasons for replacing it, was the battery was starting to have a little problem. I picked up the Belfang, and I also picked up a TYT 2-meter handheld. That one was a little bit more expensive. I think that was closer to $50. But I liked the radio. Quite a small size, and very clear on everything. Of course, my location, we've had problems, I've had problems getting into a local repeater. And this particular club went through the trouble of putting up a new antenna and getting the repeater in really good shape. The only bad problem is there's nobody on the repeater. I said to myself, wow, I can't believe now I can get in the repeater with no problems. But there's very few people that even use it. So I feel kind of bad that I try to hit another one a little bit further away, and they're saying, well, you got to definitely get a base antenna up because the handheld antenna just doesn't do the work at all. But I think the inexpensive radios are definitely something that's probably going to work quite well. And 1PXP back to net control.
Hey, thank you, Rick. I listen intently with what you're saying weather-wise because you get what we get, you know. Before you know, so you're my advance warning. Yeah, with us, it's funny. Now it's kind of calmed down, but it's been coming in bursts. We'll get these bursts of maybe 30-40 mile an hour winds, and then it dies down, and then a couple of minutes later it comes back. So it's not a steady thing right now. But they were talking 100% chance of rain tonight, and with the wind on it, that should be interesting. And I'm not really sure what's happening tomorrow, but wow, even a 40% chance of tornadoes is substantial. And number one, I know you'll be watching that, but keep aware of that. That's for sure. In Indiana, when you were talking about 90%, whoa. You know, I think maybe we'll do a net on this sometime, would be storm chasing. I've always wanted to do that, and people say I'm crazy, and I probably am, but I would like to do that sometime. But thanks for checking in. We also are going to be moving along here to Victor Hotel, if you're out there, and also TWO was doubling after that, so we will go Victor Hotel and TWO, and that should take care of this round. So, Victor Hotel, if you're there, come on aboard.
KF5VH, good morning, everyone. And I was using TWO's station for a moment there, so I actually checked in under TWO. Let me mention first to George, if your new router is a dual-band router, and you probably looked at this already, but make sure that you have turned on both bands. If you only turned on the 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi and you have 2.4 equipment, it'll look like it's not working. So just a double check on that. Regarding the Chinese radios, I have four UV5Rs. Gave two of them to the boys. And then I do have one of the Anytone radios. I have that as a mobile. I like it a whole bunch. Inexpensive. It has a couple glitches, but you can work around them. But very good performance for the money. Have enjoyed that radio a lot, especially on trips. So the XYL wants to take a trip with the dog to get a new harness. So I'll be listening from here on out. Everyone have a great day. 74 and cloudy in Lafayette, Louisiana. This is KF5VH.
There we go. And great to hear from you as always. And we will skip the TWO then. They are real. They're amazing. These radios. I can't believe they have to be selling these at a huge loss just to get the market. I can't imagine them making a profit on it or even breaking even. But I saw the I saw that Anytone, and there's another one too, and I can't remember what the name of it is. But, for the money, how can you go wrong? Like you said, you gave two to the boys, you know, even if they play baseball with it, you know, you're not out anything but $30. So it's great. It really is. Again, I don't know, what are we going to see? They're functionally very good. You're right. They're quirky. I don't have any problems with the Baofeng as far as the operation of the radio itself goes, but the software is awful. It really is, and but I suppose as we get to seeing more and more of these, there'll be better software being written. But right now, about the best thing you can get for those Baofengs is I don't know if you use it, Steve, but if it's I use a program called Chirp for it. It's a lot better than the factory stuff, but it's still not great, but it'll do, that's for sure. But they're an interesting phenomenon, and I don't think they're going away. So that's what we've got right now. We're doing Ask an Elmer this morning, and they basically it's just anything you want to throw in our way as a question or as a comment. Or right now we're kind of talking about ham radio on the cheap, and let me just buy a nickel. And for this round, I'm gonna talk about something that I've seen that intrigues me. And since it's nice and cheap, it may intrigue you too. I'm talking about software-defined radios. And there are a number of SDRs out there at a really good price. Now, there is a medium-range SDR. These are modules that you can hook up to your computer, and they're going in that $200 to $400 range. You don't have to spend thousands and thousands on an SDR anymore. These are receivers only, okay? They are not like a flex radio, receivers only. But these are in the $200 to $400 range that rate very well. But for the real cheapos out there, like me, right? There is a you can shop around on eBay, and you can find these $20 dongles out there that you combine with a $50 up converter, and you have an SDR for under $100. That's pretty good. They say they work pretty well. The software, by the way, to run these things is free. You can there's a lot of freeware SDR software out there. It's out there. It really is cheap. And the question is, are you aware of this? Have you ever used this? Does anybody own one of these things? What's the deal? Well, we will take your comments right now as we do another round of check-ins here on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
Six, Victor.
Okay, looks like we had three this time around, but we'll kick it off with Quebec Yankee. Come on aboard.
All right. This is KB4QI. I think we overlooked one there. let's back up. Just commenting about the Wi-Fi and the dual Wi-Fi and so forth. And I believe he said that if he didn't have something or something, I didn't get it. It kind of went by. But he said it would appear like you had no Wi-Fi at all, which is exactly what I got. Perhaps it is running. I don't have sense enough to detect it. Can we go back to that comment? Over.
Yeah, Jim, I think he's in the car right now, but what he was saying was this. If you have a dual-channel router, which is an N-type router, you all have a 2.4 gigahertz channel and a 5 gigahertz channel. If you have just the 5 gigahertz turned on, your 2.4 gigahertz equipment is not going to like it very much. As a matter of fact, it won't respond. So in your software setup, in your when you go to set up that router, when you do the 192.168.1.1, when you go into that and access the router control software, there should be a page where you're able to turn on either the 2.4 or the 5 or both, and you want to have both on. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir. I'll look at that right away. Thank you, sir. We already done that. I didn't even know it. But Becky worked on that thing last night, and she done checked that. And they both don't work, so, alright. Carry on. This is KV4QY.
Well, Rebecca was right on the case. She knew what to do. So it's good. But I noticed that too. When a good advice for anybody who has a multiple channel router like that. This can happen to you. Okay, I had that network problem. Went through when I was going through the settings, I had noticed too that I only had I believe it was the 5 gigahertz channel active at that point. That wasn't the problem. That wasn't the main problem that I was facing, but it was one of the problems I was facing. So if you are seeing situations where your Wi-Fi isn't responding, 192.168.1.1, and pull up the page and fish through there until you see the settings for the channels, and make sure you got them both on. We will move things along to 6 Victor. Hello there, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. Let me get my screens rearranged here so that I can see that I'm actually talking. Looks like it. That's 192.168.1.1. And I would not rule out the fact that, Jim, that by default, that's a Netgear, we were talking about this last night, Netgear N300 router that Jim has. And he may have an encryption turned on. It may have come that way default. And his equipment just isn't breaking the encryption wall or something. I love this comment about ham radio cheap. You know, this has been ham radio since day one, Gary. My goodness gracious. It needs to be free or better. And I'll leave that at that. FDR radios, I haven't really put a hands-on operation, but I've used quite a few of them. You know, I've got a couple of setups on the computer here where I can pull up receivers around the world, particularly here in the East Coast of the United States. I used it for the 40-meter net operation when the band was squirrely. I could listen to the incoming signals from a spot that I had hand-picked, and that was Global Tuners that I use a lot on. It's all free stuff, and FDR radios and that kind of stuff works great. So that's my 2 cents, sir. KY6V, back to net.
Here I am. I had the same exact problem you had. I had a a window up in front of the Echolink software. I've been, it's happened to me about three times in the past couple of days, and I can't tell if I'm on or not. It did the same thing. I thought I said 168. That's 192.168.1.1, folks, and that's how you access your router control. But yeah, that's good advice, Gordon. The problem is when something like that goes haywire, there's so much troubleshooting to do on that, and it could be, as you say, it could be encryption, it could be just any number of things, and it's just it's really, really frustrating. Yeah, ham radio on the cheap. Ham radio should be free. It's Steph's agreeing wholeheartedly, you know, with this. You know, you think about the old days, the good old days of ham radio, and so much of that stuff was homebrew, you know, and now we have $14,000 radios up there, you know, like, holy mackerel, yeah. You know, I've got my little 718. It's modest, but it does the job, you know, but I do have eyes for other things. but these SDRs, Gordon, are really interesting. I mean, it's like, how can you know, I actually put one of the medium price range on my Christmas list. Let me just buy a nickel. The cheap ones, these ones that you're going to find on eBay, they're a little dongle. It kind of looks like a thumb drive, and they're, you attach an antenna to this thing. And what they're made for, I guess, is for European TV, believe it or not. But they cover a huge frequency range, and they sell these up converters. They're about $50 that you hook this up to, and you get everything. You know, you get the ham band, shortwave, everything. And so for under $100, you've got this SDR. And if you go on eHam and stuff like that, you know, they rate pretty well. No, they're not as good as a $1,000 radio, but, you know, they're cheap, you know, and if you just want to play around with it, it's great. Jack, I just want to throw this in. I'm looking at your pictures right now. You are an artist. You are an absolute artist. That stuff looks great. I want you to come up here and do the same thing for my shack. It's beautiful, beautiful work, beautiful work. But yeah, you know, you're right, Gordon. Though I think, really, you know, the cost of ham radio is excessively high, and we have some beautiful equipment out there that you can get. But you know, it's just here's the way I look at it. And again, let me buy another nickel. We have a great pool of resources. In the fact that we have the highest number of licensed hams in history out there. Most of these folks are holding technician tickets. To advance them in the classes, to get them on HF, you have to make it reasonable. So if I can go out and buy a $30 HT with my technician ticket, where's the incentive? You know, when I say, well, the cheapest decent HF rig you're going to get is going to be around, you know, $800, and you know, where's the incentive for moving up like that? So I think ham radio has to become more cost effective if we're going to entice people to move on up through the licenses. That's my 2 cents worth anyway. So $20 SDR dongles, fun to play with, and you know, some. Maybe you can put one on your list, and Santa will stick one in your stocking. You never know. So that's that for that one. OVI, Pete, we had you down there in Florida, and we would love to hear from you right now. Come on aboard on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew.
Good day to everybody that's listening on our Star server here. Well, I was asking, now, here's a good technical question for y'all. I know some of us get answers for it from that. Maybe up north, it's predominantly geared for the people living up north who have to pound through snow. What is the reception on HF during a good snowstorm up there? Now, that's an interesting question. Is the snow an incinerator, or is it a, what do you call it, a better way of traveling on snow? That would be a good thing to go and ask for a technical question about propagation. During the snowstorm, here's one that this ought to be a real interesting topic. Back to you, KC2RMO, Katie 4R, Civic India. Sunny sunshine, stay there for you.
Well, thank you, Pete. That's a great question. I am probably not the best judge of that, because I'll tell you why. My station is right smack dab in the city of Syracuse. I'm not outside the city, so we have to deal with all the ambient noise that you're going to get from a city situation. Now, having said that, I use a magnetic loop antenna, which is a very quiet antenna. It is a very high Q antenna, so I don't get the type of noise that you would have, say, with some other antennas, particularly a vertical. So I suppose that's some sort of an equalizer. If it is, then I would say that during a snowstorm around here, which is business as usual, there's really no difference. I would say sometimes it even enhances distance capabilities, because I'm probably bouncing off clouds and stuff like that. So I would say that probably no difference at all. I don't see a noise problem with it, but again, that could be a characteristic of my antenna. So let's throw that out there to folks and see what their comments may be. Do you think that that a snow event, you know, like a snowstorm, will either hinder or enhance transmission and reception? We'll throw that out right now to the listenership in general. I'm KC2RMO. It's Askin Elmer on South Cars this morning, and we're taking check-ins right now.
Six, Victor.
I think my Charlie Bravo.
I think I double Quebec Yankee.
Good round that time around, and we'll start it off with Six Victor.
Thanks, Gary. KY6V here. Boy, that is a darn good question. I haven't had, personally, that kind of experience with a lot of snow. You know, I was born in the Hawaiian Islands. I was raised in San Francisco in California, and I've been down here in the Sunshine State of Florida for 40-plus years. So the first question I would ask is, the snow on the ground is going to change your ground plane effect for your antenna. Maybe not as much with your loop configuration that you have, but let's say you've got a dipole up there, and it might have some icicles hanging off of it. But is the snow absorbent, or does it become more of a reflector? And I would guess that maybe it's the latter. I'm going to do some research on this, because this is an interesting question. And if it becomes more of a reflector, your angle of radiation on your antenna is going to change. And that angle of radiation is going to go up higher. So I'm interested when Jim comes around. You know, Jim up there in Georgia has his share of this white stuff from time to time. Maybe he's got some experience on it. KY6V, back to you, Gary.
Yeah, I agree. I think to whatever extent, and again, I think what we're going to finally find out is that, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, Gordon, that it depends on the type of antenna you're using. Because I tend to think that it would be, that snow on the ground would be a reflector. And I think, too, if you're in a situation like we are, where our cloud, when we get the bulk of the snow that we get is lake generated, because We either get it coming long distance from Lake Erie coming across the state. We're in, right in the center of the state of New York, but we're certainly within range of lake effect snow from Lake Erie. And we're certainly much closer to Ontario, and we get a lot off of that, too. And sometimes when the wind's right, we get it off of both lakes. And the clouds that are generated from lake effect snow, and again, if you're in an area that knows, that's familiar with this, they are low and thick. And I suppose that would create a pretty darn good reflector, too. So you have reflectivity from the ground plane, and you have reflectivity off of the clouds. It makes for some really interesting stuff. I know I've gone pretty good distances during snowstorms, but I don't think it's any different than what I've seen normally. You know, I've gotten into Europe, you know, when it was snowing outside. So, you know, I don't know if it's a, if that's a hindrance or what. But again, it could just be the antenna, too. You know, that antenna, the angle of that particular antenna is such that it works well with these sort of things, too, or it's impervious to it. I don't know. It's worth some good research. So the jury's still on that one. We'll find out what's what. We'll move it along to Lima Charlie Bravo. And hello there, George.
Oh, yeah, hello there, my friend. Top of the morning to you. What can I say? The angle for the dangle, for the spectangle. I don't know. Gary, you had me running in my drawer and pulling out my little old rocket radio receiver there. That old smooth polished off crystal there, and that little telescopic antenna going up and down. Oh, let me back it up a tad. Well, what can I say, my friend? That aptitude and coming out of that thing and kind of amplify that there, and then some pretty easy, cheap old parts, all kind of trash stuff laying around there, could do this and do that with, body taking notion. And what can I say, speaking about that little old rocket radio there, you know, with the old plugged in air piece there, and that little old, it taught you that to touch lightly, you know, at times, you know, and you tune that old signal in there, and I think most of that was coming off the ground, so I think a good old a snow cap on that ground would just kind of make them signals just, you wouldn't need no amplifier. I think you'd have to do a backstroke a little bit on the airpiece. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Hey, never needs batteries. I had a rocket radio. I did. I loved that thing. It's great. I wish I had one today. For those of who may not know what George was talking about, there is a little crystal radio that was very popular. It was popular when I was growing up. That looks like a rocket, and you have the little plug-in, you know, the earpiece that goes into your ear, and the little antenna comes out of the rocket's nose, and it works great. It really does. It works just super. Crystal radios are a lot of fun and just fun to play with. They're really, really cool. If you want something to do on a Sunday afternoon, if you get a Sunday afternoon where you're bored, unfortunately I don't have that problem. But build a crystal set, you know, it's fun. Or better yet, look up how to build a razor blade radio. You can do those too. Those are cheap things to do for ham radio, but they're great. But yeah, you know. It's interesting how that snow would work on the ground and how that would either help or hinder, you know, the local performance. If, you know, if it's all ground wave, and if the snow does some sort of an enhancement, I don't know. We'll have to see. By the way, Gordon, remind me sometime to tell you the story of a local radio station, local AM radio station, who shall remain nameless, whose chief engineer hooked up the railroad tracks behind it as part of its ground plane. I'd love to hear your comment on that. We will go to Quebec Yankee. Jim, come on aboard.
This is KB4QY. All right. That's a beautiful subject, and we've talked about a lot of things, but we didn't lean on that particularly. But now, I'm more familiar with HF. On 2 meters, I don't notice any particular difference. But on HF, it can make a relatively a high difference because of snow or ice. Either one of them, they'll do different things. But the snow will just guess what? Oh man, I got the hiccups. That's what y'all were talking about, that it enhances the signal for HF operation, especially on the low bands. Now it does on the high bands also, 10, 15, 20 meters. That will be enhanced somewhat. 75 meters will be enhanced quite a bit. And 160 is the biggest change you'll notice, because it just stretches out. You don't lose anything when the snow. You gain some in distance and what have you, but you'll not lose any of the local stuff. Whereas on 10 meters, let's say, you'll it'll be different, but it won't be in particularly stronger. I mean, you know, you get to Europe today and Japan the next day, and well, you do that anyhow, so you wouldn't have no nothing to reference to. But well, you've got a steady something you can reference, 80 and 40 and 160 and stuff like that. You'll notice quite a bit of difference in snow. You'll also let me buy a nickel. Also notice a gross difference in the feed line, and that really is going to be the biggest difference. The rig will load different. It's because of the snow and or ice or both that is on the antenna will change the characteristics of that antenna as far as the load is concerned, and you'll have to reach over, get that knob and re-dip it if you're using an old diplomatic, but if you're using one of these modern rigs, you'll need to touch the antenna tuner and let it retune, because it will be different, and especially with ladder line. A ladder line, it will change just for rain. It changes the load. So if you're sitting there talking that it ain't raining, and then all of a sudden it starts raining, why, your load will change on the ladder line. So you better keep a pretty good eye on the panels or on the tuner if you don't have any control of the panels. But it'll make a gross difference in your tuning. You can tell with rain, ladder line especially, with rain, will be one thing, snow will be another one, ice will be another one, and any combination of the two will still be another one. So it'll make a big difference with Laterdyne. With coax, it's not quite so pronounced, but it will make a difference, especially in snow and ice. Over.
Well, Jim, that sounds like the definitive answer to the whole thing. And that makes some sense, too, because my personal distance record from this little old station up here in Syracuse was I hit the Ukraine on 25 watts doing PSK 31. I was 5'9", plus or minus, you know, going into the Ukraine. With PSK, it doesn't really matter, you know, but it was a decent signal going in there. And that was done, if I recall correctly, on a snowy day. So, you know, I think there's some credence lent to that, you know, that I was doing that on 20 meters, and that's right in the right range, as you've indicated. So I do think that that we've probably got a pretty good answer right there, that it's a combination of all those factors. But I do think that snow would be an enhancement. And Jack's in the text box. He's saying that he thinks that it may be because of the moisture content of the snow too, and that makes sense too. Increased conductivity. The ice is another thing, and yes, that's going to increase your loading. And that's a great point about ladder line. Because you're definitely gonna be you have that open wire, and that's got to be making a change in the impedance of that transmission line. But very, very interesting, very interesting. And we have a comment coming up from JAK. We will go to that right now. Jack, come on aboard.
All right, thank you, Gary. K4JAK here. My comment is we all know that our signal runs on the outside of our coax. Our RF runs on the outside. So anything that's going to interfere with that, excuse me, snow, rain, ice. So yeah, definitely will cause a tuning problem. You know, it's going to cause a loading problem. As Jim said, you gotta keep an eye on it. You may not realize you're icing up, but you know, some of these people have these tremendous towers and all this stuff way up there, you know, in the cold, frigid, up there, you know, these big high towers. Yeah, right. But anyway, the ice does cause problems with it, like you said, it does. But your RF signal runs on the outside of your coax, so that's just the way it is. And yes, it's going to interfere with it. It's going to make it hard. You know, like I said, you got to tune it. You got to keep an eye on it. Keep those meters in line, definitely. And like I said, yes, I believe the snow is conductive because of the moisture content. And I know down here when it rains, my stuff seems to get out in here a little better, even when there's water on the ground. You know, that's like down here now. I have friends down here that still 11 meter, but they get set up next to the water and this, and they do their DXing and all that off the water, and use it as a reflector, of course. So, but yeah, definitely I consider snow as a reflector. Also consider it conductive, and I see Mr. Six Victor in the other text box with a comment. So let me give it back to you there, Garrett, KC2RMO from K4JAK.
Hi, thank you, Jack, and indeed, we do have Six Victor with a comment, so we'll bring him on right now.
Okay, I heard a little doubling in there. Thanks, Gary. Let me make sure I've got it. Hey, fascinating subject. I think to be clinically correct, or is it these days politically correct, that be it rain or be it snow, what it is doing is altering your original resonant frequency of the antenna, therefore requiring the retuning that Jim is talking about. I found that just as much when it's a rainy day. the ground plane, the actual ground surface gets wet, your antenna tuning changes, and you have to touch it up. Then I would ask this question. Boy, we could carry this on for hours. If you have a snow accumulation on, let's say, a 40-meter dipole that you have at 60 feet, and if the snow is conductive, which I think we're all looking at positively at the moment, is that increasing the diameter of the dipole's wire and making it more broadbanded so that you can work further out from your center resonant point? KY6V, are you taking copious notes, Gary? Over.
Indeed I am. I think you're right. I really do. That really would make sense. First of all, if I was lucky enough to have 60 feet up where I could put that dipole, I'd be thrilled. But I do think that it would be de facto increasing the diameter of that wire. Interesting point. It is an interesting point. But on the other hand, you know, if you have ice on that, you're going to be definitely messing with the resonance of that antenna, too. Foul weather does strange things. That's for sure. These are great questions. You're right. I do notice that if we have an icy condition, you know, the way you tune this loop antenna is that every time you change frequency, you have to retune it. It retunes very quickly. There's a little box that comes with it, and you just tune it for the best SWR, and that's it. And it tunes quickly. You can, once you get used to doing this, you can get it to a good point in about 5 seconds. You know, it's really not bad. But I can always get 1-to-1 on this. You can just about always get 1-to-1, unless it's icy. And if I've got ice on that antenna, I might be, you know, 1.5-to-1, 1.3-to-1, but I'll never get down to that 1-to-1 on the meters. So I do suspect that there's much truth to ice affecting the resonance of any given antenna. Because you can see that firsthand in a situation like that where you're manually tuning all the time. Makes perfect sense. That was a great question. Really was good. A lot of good discussion out of that. We are doing Ask an Elmer this morning, in case you're just joining us. And what we're doing is we're taking questions and getting answers and comments and what have you about ham radio stuff. Basically, you know, if you have a question or a comment, we'd like to hear it, and that will generate more comments and everything. We were talking about ham radio on the cheap. We were mentioning that. We went through some things with Chinese radios and $20 SDR dongles, and kind of on the same line as what we were talking about a little bit earlier. You know, one alternative to you know, ham radio was you know, always you'd heard of, you know, people using 5 and 10 watt transmitters, you know, back in the old days, and you could homebrew this 5 watt CW transmitter, you know, and it kind of got out of vogue, but QRP is coming back in popularity. You start seeing lots and lots of references to QRP, and the kits are very cheap. I mean, $20 kits, $40 kits that you can build into a case and put on the air, and just like the old fixed frequency transmitters back in the day, they're crystal controlled. I'm going to buy a nickel, and you can have a lot of fun with these things. So there's another venue to do cheap ham radio, along with things like building your own antenna. You know, you don't have to spend $200 or $400 or $600 bucks on an antenna. You can get a book from the ARRL or any other source. You can just go on the internet, find lots of antenna plans where you can build an antenna for well under $100, and they work. You know, ham fests are also good. You know, sometimes it's junk, and sometimes you get taken to the cleaners, but it's also a good source buying used equipment if you've got a trustworthy seller. It can be a real bargain. So we'll take another round this time around, and two questions this time around. Have you ever worked QRP? And do you have any other cost-cutting ideas that we can throw out there for your fellow hams? We'll take your comments right now on the Sunday Morning Rag 2. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
Ask Eric India.
Alan, my sorry, Bravo.
Very good. We will kick things off with OVI. Pete, come on aboard.
What do you have noticed, Gary? Supposedly, if you want to get a real good propagation signal out of this Earth, out of our planet here, they've been thinking that being close to the ocean, that it would behoove you to take as much chain and a big boat anchor and throw out in the ocean, and use that as your grounding strap to your whole station, and see what the outcome would be. Now that's one question. I mean, one thing that might be good for propagation purposes, so you don't have to have a 1,000-watt transmitter. You can maybe run it on a 5-watt or 10-watt transmitter, and see what that does for propagation as a cheap way of getting out in the world. One thought in mind. But no, I never worked. Maybe I did. I don't know. On 10 meters, going down Mabidia down there in south to the west of Africa, that was a good trip. I measured it on the map, and it's about 6,000 miles down there on 10 meters. And I only was using maybe not more than 20 or 30 watts on the radio, and using a Antron-99 is an internet system. Now, it might be QRP, who knows? But that's coming from Katie for Oscar Rick India back to net control.
Thanks, Pete. Well, I think they define QRP as anything under 40 watts, I think. So if you were under 40 and making that trip, you were doing it with a QRP situation. It's really kind of neat. I'll operate. I do a lot of PSK. It's a very efficient mode, and it goes a very long way. And you never, because of the duty cycle of those things, you never go anywhere near 100 watts on it. You're typically in that 10 to 25 watt range. You might go up to 40, but really it's typically in that low power range. These guys that are building these little transmitters, I mean, these things are anywhere from in the milliwatt range to, you know, like 1-2 watts, you know, around there. But it's amazing how far you can go on a little bit of power. It doesn't take a lot. I think it takes a lot of patience. I don't think you're not gonna be, you know, slamming into Europe, you know, the first time around, but it is doable, and it's done every day, so it's kind of neat. Jack says that he enjoys building his own antennas, and it's fun. It is fun. It really, you know, I think, you know, the thing is, the only catch to that is, and what makes your life a lot easier, is either knowing somebody who has an antenna analyzer, or if somebody's really good to you and lays one on. You know, Merry Christmas, here's an antenna analyzer, you know, because it really helps a lot, you know, when you're trying to get that resonant frequency. But if you build a lot of antennas, it's worth the $250 or so to get one, that's for sure. but it is a lot of fun. And we will move along to Lima Charlie Bravo and George. Hello there, sir.
Well, thank you again there, Gary, and Morning Time Jack, and everyone else there. Great day. You know, Pete brought up grounds and all, and I think Gordon might remember the guy's name, the guy who, he's pretty much in you guys' field in that broadcasting business. Used to live in a little town a little bit north of us. And his ground was way down there, I guess close to 500 foot in his well. So, he had plenty of water to spare. And he played a whole lot of radio there, and we've put his tower up and different antennas for him there. And, you know, Jack is right. Antennas are wonderful, you know, to put up, and cheaply to build. All you got to do is take a ride early trash night there, and you can find where people are throwing out all kinds of aluminum tubing, you know, and it could all be pieced together and usable, you know. There's so much stuff out there for you want to play radio. There's all kinds of ways. Lost the other thought I had earlier there, Gary, but thank you, my friend, for doing the net. KW4, Lima Charlie Bravo.
Hey, thank you, George. I'll bet if you kind of hung around when Jack was finishing up a job and he had all that leftover conduit, you get some pretty good stuff right there, yeah. But yeah, antennas are. I think that's in the heart of every ham, is the desire and ability to build an antenna, and you never. There is no such thing as a perfect antenna. There is. It's a lifelong quest to come up with a better design or tweaking out an existing design and just seeing what you can do with it. That's for sure. It is great stuff, and thank you for checking in. It's great to have, as always, to have you along. This has been an awesome Asking Elmer this morning. We will do this again soon, as we are wont to do around here. I want to thank each and everybody that participated. It is always a pleasure to have you there. Really good response this morning. Think about what you want to talk about the next time. You know, bring your questions. Send us your tired, your poor. We'll be very, very happy to hear from you. So thanks for being there until the next time around. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VoIP net schedules and general information may be found on the voip.southcars.com website. Your net control for the session has been little old me, KC2RMO, saying 73, and closing this VoIP session. Thank you very much for your participation. This net is now closed.